Hello, and thank you for listening. This is Delilah Panio. I'm Vice President of U.S. Capital Formation for Toronto Stock Exchange and TSX Venture Exchange, based in Southern California. Welcome to TMX Presents the podcast. This is where we have conversations with capital markets leaders from around the world to gain insights from the influential decision makers and visionary entrepreneurs helping to shape the future business landscape. I typically host this podcast speaking with CEOs of U.S. companies that have chosen TSX or TSX Venture for their growth strategy. Today, I'm kicking off a new series of Women in the Capital Markets. Here we are in 2024 with more women starting businesses and accessing capital than ever. While the funding gap in the private and public markets between male and female founders continues, especially these past 2 years of tough markets across all funding categories, this is also a time of unprecedented opportunities for women entrepreneurs and investors. This series will include voices of female CEOs of TSX and TSX Venture listed companies, the women who bring these companies to market, and a look at gender lens investing, a growing trend globally in investment strategies. This series will focus on the trailblazing women in the capital markets and the opportunities they are creating. As the release of this first episode coincides with International Women's Day, and with this year's campaign theme being Inspire Inclusion, how perfect to start this series with Jessica Van Decker and Kristen Reinertsen of JVR Ventures, two of the few female founders of TSX Ventures' flagship Capital Pool Company, or CPC, program. Welcome, Jessica and Kristen.
Thank you, Delilah. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us, Delilah. We're really excited for the talk today.
So both of you have significant experience in the Canadian public markets. Let's dive into your backgrounds. Tell us about yourselves and what got you here. Who wants to kick us off?
I can jump in first, Delilah. So Jessica Vandenacker. I got into capital markets in a little bit unexpected way, or for me, I wasn't planning on it. Basically, it started when I became an articling student to get my chartered accounting designation. I started at a local firm in Vancouver that specialized in audits of public companies. And in that space, they really focused on the venture companies in Canada. So that was really where I got my taste of the startup space, got to see a whole bunch of different types of companies. They're innovative, they have unique situations, but they bootstrap, they don't have the resources that big companies have. Their deals and how they make them work are a little bit more out of the box. So I started there and then moved on, decided I didn't want to be a partner at an audit firm, and ended up at a company where I met Kristen and our other co-founder, Joanna Vistardis, who can't be here today, but the three of us founded a CPC 2 years ago. So here we are.
So I also sort of fell into public markets. It wasn't something that I was actively looking for. I had been to 4 different universities in Vancouver trying to find my way and started gravitating towards business and investing. And I was presented with this job opportunity with a financial advisory and corporate management firm that was back in 2007. So almost 17 years now. And so I started there and I really enjoyed it and learned on the job. And I can't believe so much time has gone past, but it's been the right fit for me. So I was with the management firm for 14 years where I met Jessica and Joanna. And my role was in public company administration, corporate finance, and financial reporting. So we work mostly with venture companies and our job entailed just quite a full spectrum of tasks and with lots of different types of people. Essentially, we assisted companies to go public and then we provided ongoing support afterwards. So after that job, since 2021, I've worked directly for public companies as a consultant. And also we've recently founded our CBC to take that venture forward. Throughout my career, I've been a senior officer and director of numerous public companies. And with that, I've had the experience of working with a bunch of different management teams and boards and just seeing the different ways that different people run a business.
This is so brilliant. I'm just so excited to have both of you on here talking about CPCs. So for our listeners, let me just explain a little bit about what a CPC is. So the Capital Pool Company program is a unique Canadian invention that actually supports early stage private companies to complete a go public transaction. The qualifying transaction is effectively a reverse takeover of a CPC by an operating business that will access the capital, shareholders, and expertise of the CPC to complete a listing on TSX or TSX Venture. It's actually the most common way that most companies go public on TSX Venture, and the program has an incredible track record as an ingredient in the success of many companies that have grown to be leaders in the Canadian markets. So I'll give you a few of those stats just to set the stage. We have been doing CPCs in our market for many, many years. Since inception, there have been over 2,800 CPCs created. 85% have completed their qualifying transaction. Former CPCs have gone on to raise over $78 billion. And about 35% of all TSXV grads to TSX started out as a CPC. Now, what we don't have is the data on how many CPCs were founded by women, but I can tell you, being in this business for over 20 years, that there have been very, very few. So how cool not alone to have one CPC founder that's a woman, but all founders that are female in your CPC. So tell us why you chose to work on a CPC together. What started the conversation?
So we had all reached a point in our careers where we had the knowledge, the experience, and the ambition to challenge ourselves to get more involved in the deal-making part of the process of a go public transaction. We'd been a part of so many deals, but not the decision-maker role. And so we realized that if we wanted that opportunity, that we were going to have to make it ourselves. So we decided that we were going to create a shell company, and so that we would be able to find, structure, and complete a transaction ourselves. So then why we chose the CPC specifically is because we've worked extensively with the TSX Venture Exchange. And so we had significant knowledge of their policies and procedures. And it's also, the CPC program is really approachable. It's structured really well. And so it's sort of like a how-to guide of how to launch a public company. You start with a clean, well set up public vehicle, and then you go forward with your qualifying transaction in a really efficient way.
Any of the three of you been on a CPC before, or are you all first-time CPC founders?
I'm already on a CPC. I'd seen CPCs a lot in my previous time as an auditor in some of our deals, but it's my first time as a CPC founder.
One of the companies I work for did launch as a CPC. It wasn't an acquisition of a company, it was an acquisition of assets, so it was a little bit different. But again, I wasn't in the decision-maker role. I helped execute the transaction, and so saw it go through the qualifying transaction and launch as this public company, but I didn't get to choose the deal, the transaction, and so that's the part that we're really excited about.
Well, let's talk about that. So again, for listeners that may not understand fully a CPC, so the founders create the shell. So Jessica, Kristen, and Joanna have created this shell called JVRVentures.P, trading on TSX Venture. And now they're out looking for a private company that is interested to be a public company, to list on TSX Venture, hopefully one day to graduate to Toronto Stock Exchange. So let's talk about the kind of qualifying transaction or private company that you're looking for.
So I think we're not really looking for a specific industry. We obviously have a lot of familiarity with mineral exploration, but our background also has touched on a lot of innovative and new industries that often start in the venture space. So we're not tied to mineral exploration and development, but it is an industry that is very well known to Canadian retail investors, and it's very well known to the advisors in the marketplace and whatnot. Really, what we're looking at is obviously a deal that can create shareholder value and a company that is ready to be public. Being public is a roller coaster ride. It can be a significant resource suck, for other words. Like, it takes up a lot of time, it takes up a lot of expertise, energy, and it takes up money, especially if it's not executed well. So really, we're looking for companies that have the right team and the right pieces in place. The deal itself, like I said, mineral exploration development is known. It has to be something that is going to appeal to the retail investor in Canada. Sometimes it's a bit of a je ne sais quoi to predict what that would be. Some of the current trends you're seeing outside of that is obviously AI is super popular right now. And so there's just a lot within that that there could be that we're looking for.
I can certainly comment on that in terms of, that is, you know, my job is the fun game of predicting what is going to be of interest to the Canadian investors, retail and institutional, in the next 9 to 12 months. And so obviously the last couple of years have been very interesting. The market has just not been open for many companies to go public. So in 2024, as we're all cautiously optimistic that, you know, things are changing and that the financing windows are open again, the IPO market will open again in Canada and the US. And so certainly some of those sectors that you talked about are going to be really of interest. What size of company is ideal for the CPC that you've created in terms of market cap or capital raising?
Again, I would probably say we're not tied to a specific, I think we're looking at, there has to be a potential in there. I mean, the retail investor, for the mass appeal, comes from the risk-reward ratio. So they're really looking for a 10-bagger. There's got to be a blue sky potential So I don't think that we're tied specifically to a market cap or whatnot. It needs to be a big enough size. It needs to be, you know, likely above 5 million market cap. But other than that, just to get enough traction for people to feel that there's value in it. Other than that, I don't know that we're super tied to a number.
Yeah. And even if it's starting, you know, on the smaller side, if there's a growth plan on how you're going to reach a higher market cap, that's a consideration as well. Day one doesn't necessarily have to be the be all end all, but we'd like to see a path for how it's going to grow and become a bigger company.
How do you find your company? What sort of activities do you do, or what networks are you connected into to find that ideal management team that is exploring this option?
I mean, we've both been in capital markets, as we said, for decades plus at this point. And so we have a variety of networks. I think you kind of touched on the fact that markets have been a bit rough. 2024 is looking hopefully cautiously optimistic. So we're starting reaching out to a variety of our networks. A lot of the deals we've done, we have brokerages, we have lawyers, you have accountants, you have other deal makers, people who've made a lot of money in the venture space. Our shareholder base are looking to make money on their investments. So there's a lot of places.
I mean, it would be ideal for us to do a deal that comes through our network. It's nice to have the common person that you can rely on and trust and you build a relationship with. And so if a deal comes your way, you know, you have a little bit more background or trust in the deal. But we do also get lots of emails every week to our CPC email address. And I think a lot of those come from the TSX Ventures advertising of CPCs and their CPC website. So we do get lots of cold calls or cold emails about lots of people wanting to go public. I see lots of tech deals. It can be a little daunting because you don't know anything about this company. And, you know, other than a pitch deck, it can be a bit more challenging that way. So we are open to looking at a deal that comes through a spontaneous way, but it is nice to have it through a network.
As we all know, all of us have been in the capital markets for a while. There's a lot of magic that happens to go public, and especially, you know, when you're looking at finding the right company that is the right management team, the right experience, the right sector, the right market timing. And then the key for the CPC and the qualifying transaction is the relationship, that there is an alignment of what your goals are. And so how important is the relationship with these founders or the CEO of that company? Because this is a long process. So for people who don't know, once a private company goes through a CPC as a qualifying transaction, you know, the insiders of both the private company and the CPC founders are all escrowed. And so you're in this for the long game. How do you think about that relationship with the CEO and the management team?
There's one thing that does come up when we have been looking at deals to date is that one of the things we want to know is what is their plan going forward, because we are going to be investors in this business. And so we want the success of it as well. And so we want to be able to communicate and understand that they're, you know, sure, if there's a new CEO that comes in place and they're going to run the company, great. But we do have value to add with our experience, especially in that area of trying to keep investors attracted and involved in the public company. And so we do want to maintain a relationship with a founder that does come in for a qualifying transaction.
I think there's interesting dynamics to relationships as with founders and as investors, and either being on the board or whatnot and how you get involved. One of the advantages of getting a deal through your network is often that there is other advisors, there's common relationships and whatnot. And so with all the deals we've been involved in the past and our different roles, how you influence decision makers and who those decision makers are is always a delicate art. So I don't think that's something we're too worried about going forward. I think it's just how you form the initial relationship.
But I think it's an important point too, which you touched on earlier, in terms of when this coming together of the CPC and the private company for the qualifying transaction, the opportunity for that private company to really lean on your expertise in the public markets, and whether that is if you maintain a board position or not. And that is one of the really the greatest benefits of the CPC program, is that a private company who does not necessarily have a lot of public company experience can glean that from the CPC founders, that whether it's, you know, casually or actually as a board member. And so for those listening, that is one of the benefits of a CPC, is you can hear the breadth of the experience that these two women have and the benefit that that would be to any company going public. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of deal making, because traditionally it's something that has been mostly male dominated for a very long time, and super excited and grateful that there are more and more women coming into this space. Because as we know, with investing generally, people invest in who and what they know. And so the more women that are on the other side of the table, whether that is the investment bankers, the lawyers, the retail investors, institutional investors, and in this case, the CPC founders, can have a real impact not only just on attracting more women-led companies to the markets, but just in general having an impact on the capital markets. And so I'd love to just have your thoughts on what you think the unique value proposition of being three women of a CPC can bring to a company, or just bring to the markets in general.
Well, being a female-founded CPC is a point of pride for us as representation of women in business. And because it's uncommon, it does incentivize us to show what we can do as women in business and as decision makers. So for our CPC, whether it's because we're female or just because of who we are, so for our CPC, we're thoroughly prepared, we're well-organized, well-managed. We have reasonable expectations of valuation because we truly want the deal to create value for all the parties involved. And it's an inclusive nature. Our female-founded CPC with a female inclusive cap table has the unique advantage that it could align with the values of a target company that's specifically looking for that diversity. But in general, it can be advantageous for any company because ESG and diversity is becoming more and more important and in demand by investors. So it is something that people are looking for more in the companies that they're investing in.
I would also say, I can't speak to the uniqueness of a female-founded CPC, but to us as a CPC, as Kristen said, we've seen dozens of deals. We've collectively been parts of hundreds of millions of dollars of financings, and we're detail-oriented, and there's so many avoidable pitfalls that early-stage companies make when they go public that we're really willing to put in that sweat equity to help fix that, which I'm not sure sometimes a lot of other people are.
Well, and there's certainly, a growing, out in the mainstream sort of vernacular around the desire for all of us to be in balance, with our masculine and feminine energies, and to have really the benefits of what women bring to the table, again, equal value and equal experience. And we don't need to distinguish separately, except to say that there are a lot of really great skill sets that we're all looking to bring into the boardrooms. And so myself, as a woman who came to the capital markets in the 90s, it's very, very different than it is today. And just how grateful that there's an embracing of, especially around, the qualities of collaboration and creativity and detail-oriented and multitasking and all the things that women are sort of known for. So do you think that you do deals differently than male counterparts or the deals that you've been on before? Or is it just that, just because the three of you are just really great at what you do, that is what differentiates you as well?
I think from my perspective and my experience, there's a tendency to look for more long-term answers and long-term solutions and to mitigate more of the downside risk as much as possible without obviously detracting from whatever it is you're trying to achieve. As you said, women bring a lot to the table. It's hard to be the only sometimes. And so it's hard to convince people that you're seeing things from a different perspective. But I think what we can bring is a focus on long-term value creation and not just getting caught up in the moment. There's a lot of advisors, there's a lot of infrastructure in the Canadian markets around the venture space, and there's a lot of people who are looking to help someone as long as they're making money and then they're off and you're left holding the bag as a company to execute the rest of the business plan, and they've made their money, they're gone. They convinced you to do the financing at this price. And so trying to make decisions that are going to be sustainable for the company for the long term and really looking for, again, the long-term wealth creation, not just the quick flash in the pan for a quick share price or a quick promote.
I think we're really open to different types of opportunities as well. We don't have a set formula yet of, XYZ equals that, and this is the type of deal we have to have, or this is how much money it has to raise, and we have to make this much money. I think we're open to each unique scenario to see how that could bring value and if it's right for us or not. And so I don't think that we cut things off the table so quickly. We're willing to consider a deal that maybe someone else might not, because it doesn't meet their formula of how much money they're going to make off of it.
Well, and one thing we know that women are really great at is nurturing, right? And so having a first-time, let's say, management team that hasn't gone public before, nurturing the company along in all the best possible ways. So do you think that because, or do you know that because the three of you are female founders, that you have attracted more female investors to invest in CPCs? Because I'm sure if we also looked at the data of that, it would be skewed toward more male investors on the CPC IPO or even, you know, later in the deal. So do you think that that has had an impact on bringing in more female investors?
Yes. We reached out to our network and yes, I mean, we've only raised 500,000 to date. And so, but I would say I'm pretty confident to say the majority of it has come from women for sure.
Even in our previous job where we helped other companies raise money, we still had the opportunity to extend some of those investment opportunities to our networks at that time too. So I think by us being involved in those transactions that we were able to pull a few more females into those other deals that maybe we weren't, you know, running, but we were a part of. And so I think by having females involved in the process, you definitely do attract more female investors.
I'm sure that those conversations must have been really amazing where you went to your network and said, hey, we're setting up a CPC. Do you want to come and invest? And for so some of them, I mean, probably had, maybe had never invested before, maybe, you know, had to set up their first time trading accounts. I mean, did you encounter some of that?
I think for some of that, one of the unique things about the management firm where I met Kristen and Joanna, that was really my first introduction to being an investor. Before that, I'm part of the management team or part of the like back office team or the auditor, but not an actual investor. And that company really encouraged and allowed for opportunities that you could get into investing. And as Kristen sort of alluded or said, we were able to extend that to some of our other networks sometimes as well and to share that opportunity. So we had already had a number of people who we had sort of brought with us into the capital markets and introduced that. But as you said, that's a whole other thing is getting accounts open at brokerages and filling out a subscription document and understanding how that all works is a whole process. And I'm quite grateful for ending up at the firm I did with these people because I don't know that I would be in this place if we hadn't gotten that exposure.
That certainly gets me really excited in terms of, you know, more women coming into the marketplace as investors, building real generational wealth, diversifying their portfolio in CPCs like yours, and then ultimately, you know, the companies beyond that. So that is just so fantastic because we just, again, the more people in the marketplace and certainly the more new investors like female investors, I think it only bodes well for all of us, and especially eventually for more women-led IPOs, which and women-led public going public transactions, of which there still are very, very few. I can tell you in my day job of, you know, talking to US companies about listing on TSX or TSX Venture, there are very, very few women CEOs. Now, I do very intentionally go out to my networks. I'm very, very passionate about the democratization of capital and for women to have equal access to funding across all categories from angel investing to venture capital to the public markets. And so it takes all of us, you know, to just have that intention that we are going to bring our girlfriends along with us, whether it's, you know, doing investment clubs or in your case, actually creating a vehicle that your friends and your colleagues can come in on. I just think that that's great. So thank you for the work that you guys are both doing or the three of you are doing. Do you have any insights or stories or trends around the women in the capital markets that you'd love to share with our listeners? Things that you're seeing in this area or because you did this or more women thinking about doing a CPC or just, and we talked about the investing, but any other trends you'd love to just highlight for our listeners?
What's, I think, really inspiring for me in this space is that it isn't just about like one woman getting to the table. The women are putting so much time, so much effort into bringing more women and more diverse people to the table. And there's such a supportive community out there. So it's not just like we're in the capital markets, there's angel investing groups and whatnot. Angel investing isn't necessarily going to invest in the capital markets, but they're there as a resource if I wanted to ask them. They're all cheerleaders for the same thing. It's really inspiring how much support there is out there to make it happen because it is kind of lonely being the only one at a table and trying to help other people see it. And I'm not trying, men are awesome. They do. And a lot of these tables are really welcoming, but they just don't have the same lens. So I'm inspired by how much support is out there.
There's a conscious and an unconscious bias just in terms of how we all operate our days in our lives, right? So it's not necessarily good or bad. It just is because, again, we're human. And so, but the more intentionality, I believe that we all have, the ones like us who have a platform and have an opportunity, you know, to educate others, I think can only help the markets.
I think it makes other women stronger too. Like the more we challenge ourselves and put ourselves out there to be better, to learn more, to achieve more, that it gives other women inspiration to do it. They support us, we support them. And I think that it just helps build everyone's confidence and abilities and experience. And it's nice to be part of that and to advocate for it when we have the opportunity.
I would also add, I think it's extremely important to have women on the cap table and to create the wealth for women that they can get. I think women then will reinvest it. We already see in other investment communities, people who are successful reinvest it and redistribute it and give more opportunities to other people. And so if women have that wealth, they can redistribute it, reinvest it, and share it with other women and other diverse groups. And the reality is right now, there's a lot of discussion about women being at the table for decisions and being on boards and being part of management. But so you're influencing decisions when you're at a board. But if you're the one who's writing the check, because you're the one with the money, then you're really the decision maker. And that's what I'm like. I want women on cap tables to get to that point where it's women writing the checks.
I agree with you. I'm all for that too. So maybe just as we sort of wrap up, this has just been a great conversation. Thank you both. So what would be your message to other women, you know, with your backgrounds or similar backgrounds that are interested in exploring a CPC or really becoming a deal maker in the public markets?
What are you waiting for? We take our money and we're betting on other people. Why don't you bet on yourself? Don't overthink the worst case scenario, because that's the least likely outcome, especially with how hard women work. Bet on yourself.
Many women have a tendency to downplay our abilities and our experience and accomplishments. And if we take a moment and stop doing that, instead focus on the fact that we have all of this experience and we have done this job before and we know what we're doing and believe in ourselves, self-promote ourselves, advocate for ourselves, we're going to get further than we think we can. And so sometimes it's just taking the leap, believing that you can do it and your skills are there. So I agree. Go ahead and do it. What are you waiting for?
What would you say your intentions are beyond this particular deal?
That's a great question. Other deals, the form of that deal might change. CPCs are approachable, but there's other avenues you can take. And so depending on how it plays out, I think the general market conditions as well always influence that. But I think we're going to stay in the deal markets and we're going to stay in the Canadian public company space for sure.
Yes, I hope this is the first of many endeavors into deal making. And I think we put a little bit of pressure on ourselves to make this one be extraordinary because we want it to be the first of our legacy. Sometimes it's a little bit of a curse because it doesn't have to be perfect and it might not be perfect. So we're just going to get one deal under our belt and then we're going to see where else that can take us. And hopefully by showing what we can do, it becomes easier and easier to get more support for the next transaction.
Well, I will certainly be championing you and looking forward to seeing the success that you bring to yourselves, to your investors, to the markets. So thank you both.
Thank you. It's honestly, this has been great and we appreciate both the support and the opportunity.
Yes. Thank you, Delilah, for having us. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about our CPC and to talk about women in business. As you can see, we're passionate about both.
We have lots to talk about ongoing, but for today, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening to TMX Presents, the podcast. And thank you to Jessica and Kristen for joining us. JVR Ventures trades on TSX Venture Exchange under the ticker JVR.P. For more information on TSX and TSX Venture as a capital option, please go to tsx.com. And for more insights from capital markets leaders and my TMX colleagues, please visit tmx.com/POV. Go out there and create a great day. Thank you.